Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The details in the passage of Scripture that is before us today, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, have been the subject of much debate and of discussion and of confusion over the years. And though these details are certainly important to understand, what many times has been overlooked is the bigger picture in this passage of Scripture. The fact that in the assessment of God, sin on this earth had reached the point of no return. The people on this earth had become fatally flawed. They'd become numb to the truth. Because over and over again, they had rejected God. They had rejected His word. And so they plunged deeper and deeper into their sin. And so it was inevitable that judgment would come upon them. There was no other course of action that could be taken in order to maintain the integrity of God. And so, because of their wickedness, because of their rebellion against God, some 7 billion people in the days of Noah would be wiped out in a flood. A flood that would cover the entire earth. And only 8 people would remain. 8 people who, like a breath of fresh air, would worship God and who would provide a new beginning on the earth. And what happened back then is significant for us now because it provides a warning for us not to ignore that event, not to ignore the consequences of sin, not to ignore the word of God. So now it says in verse 1, it came about in the course of time that this is what happened. When men began to multiply on the face of the land, and they became numerous, daughters were born to them. And those fallen angels who had been cast down from heaven because of their rebellion against God, those demons, those sons of God, as they are called in verse 2, those unclean spirits, as they are also called throughout the Bible, they roamed the earth. They roamed the planet after they had been cast down from heaven. And they saw an opportunity. They saw an opportunity to further defile the creation of God. They saw an opportunity to defile the people of this earth. They saw an opportunity to defile God Himself. And though Satan had begun this invasion in the Garden of Eden, this is the first invasion by these demons against the people on the earth. An invasion which continues to this day. A battle which relentlessly goes on day and night and does not cease because the enemy never sleeps. A battle which rages many times behind the scenes. We live in a physical world because we are physical beings. But we are not alone on this earth. There are angels and there are demons who exist on this earth as well, and they exist in a spiritual world because they are spiritual beings. And we're told in verse 2 that some of those demons saw the daughters of men. They saw that they were beautiful, tov in Hebrew, that they were attractive. And so they lusted after them. And so these demons took up residence inside of men. Men who were willing to follow the direction of those demons. They welcomed them into their lives. And so those demons indwelt those men. And then those demonic men took wives for themselves, we're told. Lakah in Hebrew. They married them. And they married whomever they chose to marry. And so they corrupted the marriage relationship that had been designed by God for men and women. A relationship that was to honor the Lord. But those demons overstepped their bounds. And because of their wickedness, they would be imprisoned in hell. Held in chains, we're told in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6, imprisoned in pits of darkness even to this day, awaiting their final judgment, which is to come. But in the days of Noah, they dominated the society of that day. Perhaps the way that evil dominates the society of our day. We live in a world that prefers the darkness of deception, that prefers the pleasures of sin rather than the blessing of God. Then we're told in verse 3, God responds to this wickedness. And so the Lord said this, there is a limit to my patience. My spirit, the spirit of God, shall not strive with men forever. A din in Hebrew, a word that has several meanings. I will not shield man from the judgment that he deserves if he will not turn from his sin and turn to me. I will not quarrel with him forever, but I will bring down my wrath upon him because he also is flesh. Even with the power of demons inside of him, he is still just flesh and blood. He's still just a man. Nevertheless, the Lord says, in my mercy, I will delay my judgment. His days to repent shall be 120 years. And what was going on during that time? Well, that was the time that Noah was building a boat in the middle of the desert and warning the people of the judgment that was sure to come as water flooded the earth. But it had never rained before on the earth. And so the word of God through Noah seemed to be foolishness to men, the way today people think the judgment of God is foolishness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, we're told in 2 Peter 2:5. But no one listened to his message, no one except for his family. And it says in verse 4, the Nephilim, from a Hebrew word, naphil, a word which means to fall upon. They were also on the earth in those days. These were mighty men. These were great men. These were giants, we're told at the end of Numbers chapter 13. Men who would fall upon you and crush you. And they were also there on earth afterwards, not only when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bore children to them, but we find them even after the flood. But even though they were mighty men, even though they were men of renown of old, still, bottom line is, they were just men. Men who were also swept away in the flood. What's the point? Point is this: fame, fortune, power and might, ability, charisma. None of these things will save us from the judgment of God. But during this time, no one listened to the testimony of God, did they? No one listened to the testimony of Adam. No one listened to the testimony of Enoch. No one listened to the testimony of Noah. So it should be no surprise to us that no one, or very few people, listened to the testimony of the Lord through his servants today. It truly is a narrow way. And then it points out in verse 5 that the Lord saw what was going on. He sees everything. He was fully aware of the wickedness of man. He was aware that it was great on the earth. Just as he is fully aware of the wickedness that is on the earth today, he sees it all. And he could see, it says in verse 5, that every intent, yetzer in Hebrew, every desire that takes shape in the thoughts of the heart of man was and still is only evil, continually, without God, without Christ. We are rotten to the core. There may be moments of goodness. There may be moments of kindness. But wickedness is at the core of our being. And so we're told in verse 6, the Lord was sorry. Nahem in Hebrew. He felt sadness. He was disturbed that he had made man on the earth. And it says he was grieved in his heart. Atzer in Hebrew. He felt pain. Because as it says in Ezekiel 33:11, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked who will not turn from their sin must be punished. There are consequences for sin. And his holiness, his righteousness, demands justice. And so the Lord said in verse 7, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. Maha in Hebrew, I will wipe the earth clean of the filth of that sin. From man to animals to creeping things to the birds of the air. For I am sorry. I regret that I have made them all. But there is hope. Because in verse 8, we are told that there was a man named Noah who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Hen in Hebrew. By the grace of God, the Lord was pleased with Noah. Noah was in step with God. He wasn't in step with the world. And let us remind ourselves, we cannot do both. We can't be in step with God and be in step with the world at the same time. Noah lived to please the Lord. And as we're reminded in Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith, Noah was warned by God about the events that were about to come, but events that had not yet taken place. But Noah took that warning seriously. And even though the sun was shining and the weather report did not call for any unusual weather, Noah listened to God. He didn't listen to the weather report. He listened to the word of God. And he took those words and he held on to them. He knew that they were true. He didn't twist them. He didn't ignore them. He didn't reject them. He didn't complain or argue. He didn't question the wisdom of God. But instead in devotion and in obedience to him. What did he do? He constructed a boat which looked more like a big wooden box, a boat with a great amount of room for the deliverance of his family and for a great number of animals, a massive undertaking. A seaworthy vessel. Problem was, there was no sea yet. So by faith, he rebuked the world for their unbelief. His faith highlighted their sin. And so he became an example for us of what is right, which is according to faith. Faith in God, faith in Christ. And the testimony of Noah remains to this day, doesn't it? These are the generations of Noah, we're told in verse 9. Noah was a righteous man. Tzaddik in Hebrew. He did what was right in the sight of God. He was covered with the righteousness of Christ. So we're told he was blameless in his time. Tamim in Hebrew. He was without blemish. Does that mean he was without sin? Well, no, he was far from that. He fell short, just like we all fall short. But by faith, he believed God. And we're told that he walked with him. Halak. He was set apart unto him. He desired to be obedient to him. And Noah became the father of three sons, of Shem and of Ham and of Japheth. Well, now it says in verse 11, at that time, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. There was no turning back. Shaheh in Hebrew. It was totally polluted. It was spoiled like rotten milk. And the earth was filled with violence, it says, Hamas. It's filled with abuse. It was filled with maliciousness. That was the pattern of life in this world in the days of Noah. And that should sound familiar to us, because that is the pattern of life today. And God looked down upon the earth, it says in verse 12, and behold, it was corrupt. It was in ruins, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. This is a message for us, isn't it? It's a message for us today, because this is a preview. This is a preview of what is to come. We are under attack. There is an invasion of evil all around us. Sin that is running wild on the earth, and perhaps running wild in the church, and even perhaps in our own home. We've become overwhelmed, overrun by wickedness. And this is a warning. It's a warning to us. God acted in judgment back then, and he will act in judgment again. So do not be deceived. The enemy seeks to deceive us. But the wickedness of man leads to the judgment of God. Know that for sure. And the demons are already condemned to an eternity in a lake of fire. So why would we listen to them? You say, I don't listen to demons. Well, every time we listen to the thinking and to the perspective of the world, we are listening to demons. But there is no reason for us to be condemned along with them, because there is hope. There is safety. There is salvation. There is deliverance in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.